plaster and knife. Plus, she sharpened her thumbnails daily, caring for them like a good blaster. Sheffield once saw her remove a man's eyes with those nails. The orbs popped right out. Then she bit through the ganglia and spat the bloody orb back at the man's shocked face. Nobody fought with Colette after that incident. The tattoo of a broken knife blade encircled by a ring of barbed wire was on the back of her left hand. The work was delicate, expertly done, with lamp oil and a sharp pencil. The process was known to hurt like hell, yet Colette had done it to herself. As befitting her position, the woman was in good combat boots, loose denims, and a blue shirt. A machete hung at her hip, while a small caliber wheel gun was tucked into her belt, and an Ingram M10 machine pistol slung over his shoulder. Under the frank appraisal of the Baron's gaze, Colette smiled. Secrets were power in the Deathlands. Before Sheffield, she had been with Silas many times, but never as man and woman. She merely used her hands to satisfy the white coat. Some spit in her palm, and a few minutes later he was sound asleep. They all thought he was fucking her, more the fools they. But once he was out, she would steal food, look at the books, and practice fighting techniques where nobody could watch. When the time came to act, she was more than ready. The private training got her out of the slave pens, and would someday make her the Baron of Avil. Not even Sheffield knew she could read and write. When playing with his hair or massaging his shoulders, the woman was also reading the reports he held. She knew more about the status of the Ville than anybody, including the Baron. Colette had been very pleased when Sheffield chose her to be the new sect chief. It saved her the trouble of chilling the person chosen had it not been her. If everybody simply stayed out of her way and did as ordered, there would be a lot fewer corpses in the world.
"No, my dear. I do not dare use the kite. It might make the weather worse, and if the winds get any stronger, the dish will get damaged, even though it's already lashed down with every spare foot of chain we have. If it topples over, we're defenseless until it's repaired."
"Can the dish be moved?"
What an odd question. He gestured at the shaking windows.
"Not at the present, no. The mill wags can still run in this muck, but the trucks and diesels stall the moment the air filter gets clogged."
"Machines need to breathe. I've always found that so amusing."
"Have you, my dear?"
Colette smiled sweetly and nestled closer to the big man, making no verbal reply. A sec man scraped his pipe clean with a small knife and loaded the bowl with a pinch of shag cut soaked in whiskey.
"Storm ain't slowing or stomping for a while."
He held a flame to the bowl.
"Plenty of time to decide what to do next."
"Perhaps."
Rising from her position, Colette turned to the Baron.
"Why don't you give me the access code for the Quonset hut, and I'll have a full inventory on the supplies done."
Sheffield partially drew the techno-knife.
"Nobody goes in there but me, or people I want in there. Ask again, Colette, and I'll slit your throat."
Rubbing her nose, the woman smiled.
"I see that you have learned from the mistakes of Silas."
Sheffield grunted and sheathed the blade. Damn the bitch and her mind games. Always testing, always prying. Probably wanted to be Baron herself someday. He'd have to watch out for that.
"The white coat was an idiot. Burning the pollution from the land is a good plan. More crops means more people to rule. But to try and clean the land and air for the whole world? Who cares? Let them die, man and muti."
A sec man chuckled.
"Just save the women."
The others joined the laughter. On impulse, Sheffield grabbed his sect chief around the waist and pulled her close until warm breasts were pressed against his face.
"Sounds good."
He bit the fabric and the soft flesh underneath.
"Might as well fuck. Not much else to do, but wait."
"Bedroom."
Colette pressed harder against the man and spread her legs a bit to guide his free hand between her thighs.
"They can watch."
He almost ripped open her shirt in his haste to expose her breasts. They spilled free, and he ran rough palms over the large nipples.
"Let them see how a real man does it."
"Oh, as you wish, my lord."
She raked her nails through his hair. Just then, a loud knock sounded at the door. Quickly, the sec men raised their blasters and assumed firing positions, as a corporal brandishing a hand cannon walked across the room and threw the bolt. A blast of smoky air heralded a figure in bloody rags, the hash marks of a corporal barely visible through the layer of ash. He clutched a long blaster with a shattered stock and a badly bent barrel. Sheffield shoved the woman away.
Report!
The corporal yanked the cloth from his face.
My lord, we've been attacked. A mutie got in through the hole and aced two of us. My private and I finally stopped the thing, but we lost three men and a blaster chilling it.
How did this happen?
Colette tucked the loose shirt into her pants without buttoning it closed.
Asleep on duty again, eh?
In this storm? It's the damn blasters. They jam after only a few shots. We had to take out the mutie with knives.
Sheffield rose from his throne.
What about the claymores?
None of them went off, sir. Ain't worth shit.
Fuses are set wrong again. Lieutenant Brandon, get on the intercom and assign more troops to the gap immediately. Then order the last two war wags to shove that dead tank into the gap. That'll cut the hole down from 50 feet to 20. And have somebody reset the fuses.
Saluting, the lieutenant strode across the room to a distant table and started to press buttons on a small control panel.
Shitfire! What are we going to do about these fucking blasters? No matter what we do, no matter how much cloth we wrapped around them, they always jam!
If the slaves ever find out, we'll have another revolt!
Realizing there was a slave present, Colette swung her squat Ingram around to point it at a musician chained to a chair near the fireplace. The slave continued to softly blow a happy song on her harmonica. She hadn't been told to stop, and knew better than to disobey a command. A private stepped between the two women.
Whoa there, sir. Ain't no need for that. Lorna's okay. Totally faithful to the blues she is. Good as a dog.
Colette snapped the arming bolt.
Idiot! Slaves are faithful only to the whip!
The private turned to the Baron.
Sir?
Kill them both. I won't have fools working for me as bodyguards.
The sec man gasped, and Colette fired from the hip, the chattering machine pistol hosing a stream of soft lead rounds. The trooper tried to dodge out of the way and failed, his body spinning to topple onto the dirty floor. Unable to move, the girl simply continued to play the harmonica until the bullets came her way, slamming her backward against the chair. The tattered body slumped forward to dangle limply from the chains, the broken harmonica tumbling away to land in the fireplace next to the electric heater. Colette slapped in a fresh clip.
Anybody ever speaks like that in front of a slave gets more of the same. We kill with blasters, but rule through fear, understand?
The men murmured agreement, trying to ignore the splashes of blood and gore adorning their uniforms. The wounded corporal spoke up hesitantly.
What about me, sir?
As if debating options, Sheffield waited a minute before answering.
You did good, trooper. Go see the healer about that wound, then get some sleep. You deserve a rest. No patrols for a week. You're assigned to the bunker.
Yes, sir.
He smiled and gave a crisp salute. The sec man hurried past the corpses in throne, heading down a long hallway for a distant section of the armory. Colette shouldered her blaster.
That was generous.
Carrot and the stick. Only a fool tries to rule by only one of those.
Loosening the scarf around his neck, the Baron sat in the throne chair and pulled the maps closer.
Lieutenant Brandon, take some men and drag the bodies outside. We'll save them for later in case we run low on food for the slaves.
The officer glanced at the billowing blanket covering the closed door. The storm got worse at night. The lieutenant hesitated. Sheffield lowered a map and said nothing, merely staring at the soldier. Swallowing hard, the lieutenant gathered his weapon and joined the other sec men at the door. Covering their faces with masks of cloth, one by one, the men slid under the blanket and out into the roaring tempest.
Now we're alone.
Colette smiled, removing her shirt completely. The Baron ignored her as he studied a map.
Later. I have an idea that might solve our present problem nicely.
She leaned closer, letting him feel the warmth of her skin.
Tell me.
We can't move the dish.
He traced a river on the paper with a finger.
But maybe, just maybe.
What?
Maybe we could find another one.
Separating into teams, the companions did a fast sweep of the subterranean base, going from level to level in quick procession. The base was larger than most,